daf is Tamid daf Chav Ches. We are holding on daf Chav Zayin and Beis. We're three lines from the bottom of the page on Chav Zayin and Beis. Tanan Hasam Ish Harabayis Haymechazar Kol Mishmar Mishmar Vavukos Dolkol Safanim. So we already discussed each of the Mishmaros, where they were located. 24 Mishmaros in total, 21 Levim, 3 Kohanim. So the Mishnah tells us that the Ish Harabayis, a man who had the title Ish Harabayis, would go around inspecting each of the guards, inspecting each of the Mishmaros, and he had torches lit in front of him, otherwise he couldn't see. It was the middle of the night. He was good. The Mishmaros were carrying on L'choladeos through the night. The question is whether they were also carrying on during the day, but L'choladeos, they were going on through the night. V'kol Mishmar she'eno omed, v'omerle, ish harabayis, shalom alecha. And as he approached any Mishmar, any guard, who did not stand up immediately and say, ish harabayis, shalom alecha, and greet him, nikr shu yashin. That was a sign that the guy was sleeping on the job. So chavto b'makalo, he would hit him with a stick. And if he really felt like he needed to, he even had permission to burn the guy's clothing. And anyone outside that would hear this, that would hear a little bit of ruckus in the Azara in the middle of the night, they would say, what's going on in the Azara? Kol ben Levi loka ubegad of nisrafin shiashinol mishmar. It must be the sound of a ben Levi who's getting hit and whose begadim are being burnt because he was sleeping on the job. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer pamachas matzu es achi imi yashen v'safras ksuso. He says, don't think this is a joke. This once happened to my uncle that he was sleeping and they actually burnt his clothing. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, ki matir Rabbi Yochanan, v'hamas niso, and Rabbi Yochanan got to this Mishnah, where it taught about what the Ish Harabayis would do to you if you were sleeping. Amar hachi, ashrayam l'rishonim, sha'afilu al onashena osedin, shalol al onashena lachas kama v'kama. How fortunate are the Rishonim that they would be punished swiftly, even for something that was sort of almost out of their control. I mean, it was an onashena, they fell asleep, it's the middle of the night, it's not so crazy that a person could fall asleep, you know. We're not far away from Shavuos. When we try to stay up all night, we do our best. But every once in a while, a person dozes off. It's not so easy to stay up all night. And yet, they were punished right away for that. So when it's not alone a shena, when it's something that we're a little more at fault for, all the more so. So they were really kept in line, and that's a very fortunate thing that there was zocha to be kept in line like that so swiftly. So a couple of things over here. Ish har habayis. Who is this guy? What is his job exactly? This Ish har habayis. So the Rambam in Beis HaBechira, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perches, Halacha Yud, writes that the Ish HaRabayis would go around to each Mishmar Kol Halayla, all night long. Now we saw the Mefarish on Daf Chaf Hayamid Beis said that the Shmiras HaMikdash happened during the day also, not only during the night. Yet it's clear that the Ish HaRabayis' job was only at night time. So it's not necessarily going against the Mefarish, because even if the job was even if Mishmaros were done at day as well, it makes sense that you would have this guy to make sure people aren't sleeping at night and not at day, because the chashash of someone falling asleep was obviously much, much greater at night than it was during the day. The Beis Hamikdash was probably a fairly busy place during the day, probably was a lot more difficult to fall asleep during the day, but during the night it's very easy to fall asleep. So we understand very well that his job was only at night, even if the Mishmaros were going on all day. So Mishnah Melech writes that it sounds from the Rambam though that this guy, his job was to be appointed over all of the Shomrim, all the Kohanim, Levim, everybody. He had to make sure all 24 were doing their job. The Tosfos Yontif, however, seems to disagree. The Tosfos Yontif in the first parak of Maseches Midos is medayik from the Mefarish, where the Mefarish says that he was Mechazar al kol mishmar o mishmar, and he had the maftechos of the Har Habayis. Sounds like he was only the shomer on the Levim who were guarding the Har Habayis, but not the Kohanim who would guard the Azara, the inside of the Azara. So he wasn't in charge of all of the guards. Tos Yontif says that it's muchach this way just by his title. What was his title? Ish Harabayis, meaning he was appointed over the Shomrim of the Harabayis, not over the rest of the Shomrim as well. The according to Tos Yontif Lechora, he was only Mamuna on the Shomrim of the Harabayis, so he wasn't even Mamuna on all of the Levim. It's not only a split between Levim and Kohanim. There were some Levim whose job was to guard the Azara. We learned about yesterday. They would guard the Azara from the outside because they Yeshiva Bazara El Malchus Pesav Bilvad, and sometimes they would feel a need to sit. Fine, but they were Levim whose job was to guard the Azara. So it sounds from Tos, it's a little difficult than Tos Yontif. On the one hand, he's drawing this distinction between Kohanim and Levim. Kohanim. On the other end, he's drawing a distinction between Har HaBayis versus the Azara. Now, there is a Mishnah in Maseches Shkalim, in the fifth parak of Maseches Shkalim, Mishnah Aleph, where it tells us that those people that were Mamunim B'Migdash, Ben Bavi was Mamuna Alapakia. Amongst the list of people who had jobs in the Migdash, who had something they were in charge of in the Migdash, it says Ben Bavi was in charge of the Pakia. So what does that mean, in charge of the Pakia? So the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Gimel says that it means Mamuna Alapakia Malkus. He was in charge of hitting people when they got out of line. Dafka these people who fell asleep on the job. Now the Yerushalmi in Shkalim says no, Pakia means psilos. He was in charge of the wicks that they needed to use for the menorah or whatever. So he was in charge of that. Pakia means wicks. So the Ravid in Klei Hamikdash Perek Zayin wonders why doesn't the Rambam list the guy who was in charge of the wicks amongst the various mamunim. So the Achronim point out what kind of kasha. Because the Mishnah already points out what kind of kasha is the Ravid asking. The Rambam doesn't pass like the Yerushalmi. The Rambam passes like the Bavli. That Alapakia means, like the Gemara in Yuma says, not the guy in charge of the wicks, the guy in charge of hitting people, the guy in charge of the waking up the Shomrim. So the Bartanura points out that what does it mean he was Mimuna to hit people, to hit the Kohanim and the Levim? He says both Kohanim and the Levim that were sleeping on the job, who were Shomer the Mikdash at night, and he was in charge of like the Ishar Abayis. He was the Ishar Abayis who would go around by each and every Mishmar to wake them up. So it's Yantif quotes from the Shilta Geborim that asked on the Bartanura that he was Mimuna to hit the Kohanim and Levim, that's not correct, because he was not Mimuna on the Kohanim. He was only Mimuna on the Levim in the Harabayis. Meaning, it's Yantif Lashitaso, that the Ish Harabayis was only in charge of Harabayis. He was only in charge of the Levim. He was not at all in charge of the Kohanim. So that's the discussion about what exactly this fellow's job was. Further discussion about when someone sleeps Bishas Shmira, how bad of a thing is that? Is that always usher for a person to be sleeping on the job Bishas Shmira? The Be'er Sheva quotes from based on the Mefarish that we said before that in the Beis Hamokad there were Rubim, there were these young Kohanim that were Shomer like they had in the Beis Haftinus and the Beis Hanitzot, and the Pirchei Kuhuna would sleep there. Those were the Kohanim that needed to do the Avoda the next day. So meaning, but from the Mefarish it seems clear that the Shomrim wouldn't sleep at all, like our Gemara seems to imply. The Shomrim would never sleep. The sleeping was done by the Pirchei Kuhuna. The Ruvim were somebody else. That's what we discussed yesterday when the Gemara gave that answer, that the Ruvim, the difference between the Ruvim and the Pirchei Kuhuna, is whether the ones who did Avoda or didn't do Avoda, Royal Avoda, not Royal Avoda, does that mean there were two different sets of people? People who did Avoda at some point and people who didn't do Avoda? Or were they the same people, it's just two different times? That at night time they were referred to by one title because they were not able to do Avoda at night, and at daytime they were referred to by another title. But that's the question, whether we're talking about two different people or not. So from the Farish it sounds like we're talking about different people. And those who were actually Shomrim were not allowed to sleep at all in the Mikdash. It was only those who were resting up for the Avoda the next day that were allowed to sleep. However, the Rambam in the 8th parak of Beis HaBechira Halacha Vav writes, Lo hayu ha-kohanim ha-shomrim yishenim b'bigdei kuhuna el mekaplen osan u'manichen osan keneged roshehen v'lovshin b'gdei atzman v'yishenim ala aretz. The Kohanim that were Shomrim would not sleep in their bigdei kuhuna. They would fold up their bigdei kuhuna and put it by their heads, and they would sleep on the ground. So what does he describe them? The Kohanim that were Shomrim were sleeping. So the Mishnah Melech says, you see clear in the Rambam, that the Kohanim that were Shomrim in the Beis HaMokad would sleep in the Beis HaMokad. So he says, what's the difference between the Shomrim that were Levim, that were Shomer in the Migdash, where it's usher for them to sleep, clear in our Gemara that they were not allowed to sleep, and the Kohanim? So the Piskei HaTosfos seems to deal with this. His Lashon is a little bit Megumgum, the Mishnah Melech points out, but the Piskei HaTosfos here in Tamid, Os Aleph, writes as follows, Kohanim Levim Nechluku L'Mishmeres Zman Kavua Haisalahem Lishon Lishon. They had a Zman Kavua to sleep. If he slept more than he was supposed to sleep, then they would hit him and they would burn his clothing. If he didn't stand up first and greet the Ishar Abayis. shomer umakomus yesh shalolishon behem. And also, when one shomer was sleeping, the other one had to be awake. When one and they would take turns. So it seems Mishal Melech points out that the Piskei Atosos is offering two terutzim to this kasha. It seems that the Piskei Atosos is suggesting, yes, they would sleep on a rotation. One answer is they would sleep there were certain times that they were able to sleep, and other times that they weren't allowed to sleep. They were able to sleep for X amount of time. And when he would go inspecting, he would inspect when it's past that time, when they were supposed to be awake already, and that's when he would hit them or burn their clothing. Second answer he seems to be giving is that it wasn't about a specific amount of time, it was a rotation. And if you slept during your rotation, that was the problem. So those are the two terutzim as to how it could be that on the one hand, the Rambam seems to assume that the Shomrim would sleep, and in our Gemara it seems clear the Shomrim were not allowed to sleep. Piskei Atosos seems to assume that they were allowed to sleep, but it was limited, and if they went beyond that limitation, that's when it became a problem. Mishal Melech also points out that when we say, Kol Ben Levi Loke, what would people hear? They would hear noise from the Azara, and they would say, oh, Ben Levi must be getting beaten. So he says, mashma, that they would only hit the Levium. And that's why someone would say, kol ben Levi loka. So that's that fits very well with what we said from the Mefarish before, that the Ish HaRabayis was Mamuna only on the Levium who guarded the HaRabayis, not on the Kohanim. That's why I'd say, kol ben Levi loka. But from the Rambam, it's mashma that he was Mamuna on the Kohanim as well. So why would they dafka say, kol ben Levi loka? So Mishnah Melech says, you have to say that since Rova the Shomrim were Levium, so if you know there are 21 Levium, there are 3 Kohanim, so Mistava, you could assume if someone's getting hit, it's probably one of the Levium. Chances are it's one of the Levium. Also, he says that even the Ish HaRabayis was Mechazer al Kohanim. Maybe, the Rambam holds he was in charge of the Kohanim, but maybe he was only allowed to hit and burn the Levium. Maybe he wasn't allowed to hit. Maybe that was a different covenant of the Kohanim, that you weren't allowed to do that to Kohanim. It's also possible to suggest Kohanim's reasoning. Maybe we have a chazaka that it wasn't a Kohen, that Kohanim are much more careful about everything they do in the Mikdash, and because of that extra care that we assume Kohanim are taking, you have every right to assume that it's not a Kohen who's being taken to task for failure to do his job in middle of the night. Okay, Vayter in the Gemara, about 10 lines down, Chav Chesam Nal, Tanya, Rebbe Yomer, Ezu Hi Derech Yishara Sheyavalo HaAdam. What is the proper path that a person should go on? If you look at the Mefarish, he says, there are a lot of things. I mean, you should be a nice person, you should be a pious person, you should be, you should daven, you should do there are a lot of wonderful things that a person should do. I mean, what we're trying to say is, this is one of the bits of good advice. There are thousands of bits of good advice that we can give a person of how to behave. This is just a very, this is just one detail of something that you can give thousands and thousands of details. So what is this? So Marsha doesn't like that at all. The Marsha says, "What do you mean? We're asking Ezu Derech Shiyavar Lo Adam, and it sounds like this is the Derech. It doesn't sound like this is just one of the thousand pieces of advice. It sounds like we're being very specific over here." So the Marsha says, "No. What the Gemara is about to answer, this is all trying to explain the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah in Pirkei Avos uses the same lashon at the beginning of the second parak of Pirkei Avos. What is the Derech Yishara Shiyavar Lo Adam and the Mishnah?" Mishnah says, "Kol shi tiferes laosa v'tiferes lo mina adam." Whatever is a glory or splendor for the one who does it, and for other people, for min ha'adam. So what does that mean? So that's what the Gemara is discussing over here. That's a nice statement, something that's glorious and splendor for both you and other people around you, but that's not very practical. What does this mean in practical terms? What is one supposed to do? So that's how the Marsha understands this kasha. Ezu derech shiyavar lo ha'adam, meaning using the same terminology that we use in Pirkei Avos, because we're asking what's pshat in the Mishnah. What are you supposed to do? So our Gemara is going to have two suggestions of what that Mishnah means. Number one, Ye'ehav es ha-tochachos. A person should love rebuke. When there's rebuke in this world, when a person is able to be rebuked, then there is nachas ruach in this world. Then there's calmness and everything is good. Tovo bracha ba'in la'olam, and goodness and blessing comes into this world. V'ra'a mistalekes min ha'olam, and evil leaves the world. Meaning when people know how to give and receive rebuke, and to so then you can catch someone when they start misbehaving, you you can catch it before it gets out of control. The person will receive the rebuke and will fix his bad behaviors before they become too terrible and start affecting other people. Shenemar al-Molchichim yina'im va'aleim tavo birchas tov. That's a pasuk that for mochichim, for people who give tochacha, so that's going to be very good. They'll withhold other people from doing averos, and they will have a birchas tov. So that is one approach. Now, so the Marsha says that is the teferes lo seha and teferes lo mina adam, because because al yedei tochachos that you're mochiach the rabbim. So because you mochiach people and they're mekabel tochacha, so they're going to go in the derech tov. That's nachas ruach will come to the world. And that's a teferis for everybody, and then we'll have another yeshomrim who says in a different way that it's to do everything be'amuna, to have to be honest in all of your dealings. Now, Rav Chaim Volozhiner is quoted in Rav Avadia Yosef Sefer on Pirkei Avos in Afayetz Avos. He writes that the world thinks that tochacha is only for darshanim, for rabbanim, for people who are whose job it is to be mochiach other people. But the truth is, that's a mistake. It's a mitzvah al kol echad ve'echad miYisrael. Even in Am Haaretz, it sees someone else doing something not right, it's chayv lochicho. You're supposed to, there's a mitzvah of tocha for everybody to do the mitzvah of tocha. Problem is, the Gemara tells us that no one in our generation knows how to do that mitzvah anymore, and even fewer people know how to, I don't remember what the Gemara says, which one is fewer, know how to accept tochacha anymore, that it's difficult enough to, even when done right, it's difficult for people to accept tochacha. But it's very, very difficult for people to give tochacha. People don't really know necessarily how to give tochacha. It's also a discussion. What does it mean? Yehaves tochachos. Who should love tochachos? The person giving it or the person receiving it? So Pashtus says it's the person receiving it. That a person should love tochacha. You should love to get mussar. There's a tshuva in Nigros Moshe where someone said to Rav Moshe, you know, I saw that you get a ride to Tiferes Yerushalayim on Erev Shabbos, and it's after Zman Adachas Nero sometimes, so you really shouldn't do that because the community has been Mekabel Shabbos. You're doing something wrong. So Rav Moshe says, goes on a whole paragraph about how thankful I am that you're being mochiach me, and so many times people are afraid to be mochiach me, or they're hesitant, and I'm mekabel ba'ava. I think halachically I might be right, and he explains why he thinks he's okay. He thinks he might be right halachically, but because you're mochiach me and you think it's inappropriate, I'll stop doing that. I won't do that anymore. Imagine someone being I don't know who this guy is, going to be mochiach Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Moshe didn't think anything of it. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe typically, when he thought it was an embarrassing tshuva, when the person who was shoal would be embarrassed, he would leave out the name when he published the tshuva. L'kvod harav ploni, or something like that. But when it was something that, why would the guy be embarrassed? He always wrote the name in the Igros Moshe. I think this guy's name is the Igros Moshe figure. What do you mean? He's doing such a wonderful mitzvah. He's doing such a great thing. You look at that and you think, what was this guy thinking? This is Rav Moshe Feinstein. But he was an Oyev Esatochach. He loved to receive the Musar. The Rush writes, no, not just love to receive the Musar. You love those who give it. You love the person who gives the Musar. It's not just the Divrei Musar that you like. You love the person because you're so appreciative that he would that he would do that. There are people like this. There are people that love it when they receive Musar. Not many. I once spoke to someone in the shul about it was getting a little out of control in terms of the talking during davening, and he sent me this long email. Thank you so much for telling me, for bringing this to my attention. Sometimes you slip and you don't realize how far you're slipping, and it's so nice to have someone who could catch you. It's like, wow, if everyone was like this. But some people really love it. They really love the Musar. That's a great midah. The Marsha says, Derech Yishara sheyesh lahochiach acherim ulahadrichim al derech hatova, that we're talking about the mochiach, not on the mekabel tochacha, that you should love to give tochacha. That's a very big chiddush, that's what we're talking about. He says, and that's what the pasuk is, l'mochichim yina'im. So, v'aleim tavu birchas tov. It's talking about the mochichim, that they get bracha, not on the mekable tochacha. Sounds like it's a din in the mochichim, that's how the Marsha understands. Again, a very big chiddush, it sounds more that the great Midah would be the one who's mekabel Tolchacha ba'ava. A lot of people give Tolchacha and love to give Tolchacha. That doesn't seem nearly as great a Midah, but I guess someone Masha means someone who gives Tolchacha properly and doesn't do it out of spite and doesn't do it out of anger, but does it with a genuine sense of ahava. So that's one possibility of the derech that sheyavar lo ha'adam. So says the Gemara v'yeshomrim, back in the Gemara v'yeshomrim, yachzik be'emuna yisera. Now the derech, the proper derech, is to be to have extreme integrity, trustworthiness. Shneamar, Eina b'Ne'emane Yaretz l'Shevesi Madi. Find that you sit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're Ne'emane Yaretz, when you're the most trustworthy people. Amram Shmuel Nachman Yamram Yonasan, Kol Mochiach Es Chaver L'Shem Shemayim Zocha L'Chelkul Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That anyone who's Mochiach his friend L'Shem Shemayim is Zocha to, in some way, the Chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shneamar Mochiach Adam Acharai. V'lo od, and not only that, ela shemosh k'nolav chut shel chesed, that there will be a chut shel chesed that covers him. What's chut shel chesed? Shenemar chein yimatzei mimachlu klashon. Why does he need a bracha of a chut shel chesed? Because most of the time, if you're mochiach somebody, they'll be bitter. They're not going to like you. They're not going to enjoy the fact that you're calling them out on something that they're not doing right. But if you're mochiach l'shem shemayim, purely l'shem shemayim, so you have this bracha of a chut shel chesed, that there's certain chein that the person is going to appreciate and the person's going to have this generally like you. Matzav nol yodeh v'chulei, Misha rotza litrum es mizbeach. So the Mishnah went on to say that if someone wanted to be tarim in the mizbeach, he wanted to take the ashes off the mizbeach in the morning, all he had to do was wake up really early and go to the mikvah before the mamuna came to wake everybody up. And then he could be tarim in the mizbeach. But then the Mishnah went on to say that they would do some sort of lottery to figure out who gets to be Torim the Mizbech. So Frak the Gemara, I don't understand which is the way that they would pick it. Hagufa Kasha, Amit Mishu Rotzal Litrum Es Mizbech, Mashkim Betovel Ad Shliyav Amamuna Al Malav Bepayis Talim Milso. The first part of the Mishnah sounds like there was no sort of drawing of lots to figure out who would be the one that's Torim the Mizbech. It's whoever would wake up early and go to the mikvah on time. V'adetani Yavav Yifayis. But then it says, let everyone come together and we'll be Mefayis to figure it out. Al Malbepayis Talim Milso. So which is it? Amar Abaye lo kasha. The Gemara is going to give two answers. Abaye and then Rava in the last line before the Mishnah is going to give the second answer. Amar Abaye lo kasha. Kan kodem takana, kan liachar takana. One is before the takana, one's after the takana. What takana? The tanan barishon kol misha rotzal l'trumas mizbeach torim. Used to be whoever wanted the job of the trumas deshen, which essentially was taking out the garbage. So it wasn't the most glorious job in the world. Anyone who wanted it could do it. Bezman shein merubin rotzin violin bekevesh kol kodem es chaver b'toch arba'am ol zacha. So when there were a lot of people, so they would all run up on the ramp of the mizbeach, meaning a lot of people would wake up early and would go to the mikveh because they all wanted to be the one to be tarim the deshen. So then they would race up the mizbeach, and whoever got within dalet amos of the top first won the race, and then he would be able to calmly walk up the rest of the way once he was within dalet amos of the top. If two people were tied, then the mamuna would say, okay, let's do the thing with the fingers, where everyone sticks out a finger, and they pick a random number, and they keep counting from one finger to the next until they hit that number. Now, when they would do that, they wouldn't have just between the two people who won the race, because then you would be able to tell very easily who was going to win. If you pick an even number or an odd number, you know, depending who you start with, it would be very obvious, because you're only allowed to stick out one finger. Even if you stick out two fingers, they only get counted once. So it wasn't going to, because otherwise everyone could just double their chances by sticking out two fingers. So it would only get counted once. So what they would do is, if two people were tied, they'd get everybody. Everybody who was in the race would go in a circle and stick out their fingers. They'd stick out one finger or two fingers, or again, whichever number they stuck out, they were only counted once. You couldn't stick out the thumb, because that would sometimes make it look like it's from two different people, because your thumb and your other fingers could be pretty far apart, especially your pinky. You could do it like that, so then it would they might mistakenly count you twice, which will double your chances of being picked. Maisa one time it got so contentious, the race was such a heated race, they got it to the top of the mizbech at the same time, one of them shoved the other guy and he broke his leg. When Bezin saw that this was getting a little dangerous, that they weren't playing nicely, so they decided, you know, maybe it's just better to do a lottery, maybe it's better to just pick Gorolos, and that'll be a better way to decide who's going to do the Trumas. Hadashan. So that's all Abaye's answer. The question was, why does it on the one hand say that if you wanted to do the Trumas Hadashan, you just go to the mikveh early and then you'll be able to go and do it? And on the other hand, so we do a pious, which one is it? Well, it used to be if you wanted to do it, you'd go early and then you'd be in the race. And if you then later on, when they decided to do a pious because it was Bali De Sakana. Rava Amar Rava says, no, Idibidi Lacha Takana. Valchiktani Mushu Rotza Lava Lul Fayes, Mashkim Tavla, Shalay Yava Amuna. Meaning everything was after the Takana, Rava says. And the point is that anyone who wanted to be Mefayes, anyone who wanted to participate in the lottery, had to wake up early and go to the mikvah. You don't get to play the game if you don't put in a little effort. So you had to wake up early and go to the mikvah, and then you could be entered into the drawing. But you couldn't be entered into the drawing unless you made that effort of going to the mikvah in advance. Okay, new mission of the Baal Mechav Chesem Ralf. Natal Samavteach. So he took the key. Upasa the Mamuna would take the key. Upasa Chesapishpesh. And he'd open up the little door. Not the giant Share Azara, but the little door of the Azara. V'nichnas mi Beis HaMokha the Azara. He'd go from the Beis HaMokha into the Azara. V'nichnas HaKohanim Achrav. And the Kohanim would follow him. V'shtei Avuka Shal Arbi Adam. They were carrying two torches. The reason they needed two torches is because we're about to see that they were going to split up into two groups. And keep in mind, it was the middle of the night, so it was dark. So Nechlu Shtei Kitos, so they split up into two groups. Eilu Mahalchim Bach Sadra Derech Mizrach, Veilu Mahalchim Bach Sadra Derech Marav. Around the edges of the Azara, there was a Nachsadra. Nachsadra is where you have, it's like you have a roof over you, and then pillars, columns, holding up the roof. So underneath that area of roof, where there are columns on your left, and a wall to your right, so that's the Achsadra. So they would go around the perimeter of the Azara from, you know, one, they would split into two groups, each going around the perimeter of the Azara in the Achsadra. Hayibotkin v'holchin, they would check to make sure everything that they needed was there, atchemegim l'makam osa chavitim, until they got to the place where of the people who would make the chavitim. Higiu elu ve'elu, amru shalom, the chavitim is a special kind of mincha that the Kohen Gadol would bring every day, right? It's a special kind of a mincha. Higiu elu ve'elu, amru shalom hakol shalom. When they met up with each other, so they covered the entire perimeter of the Azara, they would say, okay, all's good. If they saw everything they needed was there, they would say, okay, we're ready to start our day. They would then wake up the people whose job was it to make the chavitim to get to work. The guy whose job it was to be torim the mizbeach would then be torim the mizbeach. And they would tell him, they would warn him, just be careful, don't touch any kelim until you first are makadish yadayim v'raglayim min hakiyar, until you wash your hands and your feet from the kiyar. You're not allowed to touch any of the kelim of the mikdash. So the Ravid writes that be'emes there's no such halacha mikra din. There's no iser to be no geya b'kli before you do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. They would just warn him not to touch the kli lest he be mechate before kiddush. That if he's holding the shovel already that he's going to use to take the trumas hadashan, so we're afraid he might actually take the trumas hadashan before doing Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, and during this avoda, there was no one else that went in with him, together with him, to do the shoveling. And therefore, they had to warn him now not to forget, because no one was going to be there to warn him later. Once he's holding the kli and he's going inside, no one's going to be there to remind him, make sure to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So therefore, it was necessary to warn him now. The Mari Korkus in the side of the Rambam in Tamidim Musaf in Perek Beis Halachid Gimel adds that they had to warn him so that he shouldn't think that it's not an avodah chashuva, that it doesn't require Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. They wanted to remind him, even though Trumas Hadashan is really a glorified taking out of the garbage, you're taking out the ashes, yesterday's ashes, but still it's a very chashuva avoda, and therefore it even requires Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. It's a way of being machshivit in his eyes. So it didn't only serve as an actual reminder, it served to get him to appreciate what he was doing. So Mikdash David just points out that you could prove that there must not be a real din that you need to wash before touching clay hamikdash, touching the kelim that they would use, based on the Gemara in Maseches Yuma and Daf Chafayim and Beis, because the Gemara says it's got to be that there's no Isser Midaraisa or Isser Midrabban to touch clay sharis before kiddush, because the Gemara over there has a suffix. who was mekabel the dam hatamid, the dam of the korban tamid? Who would do the kabbalah sadam? Was it the shochet or was it the zorek? Was it the person who shochet the korban, the person who zorek the dam? So the Gemara proves that it must be the zorek that's mekabel the dam, because if it were the shochet that were mekabel the dam, so the shochet would need to be mekadish yada v'raglav. And we're going to learn that one of the great tikkunim that was done with the kior was that instead of two spouts, at one point in history they added another 10, they made 12 spouts of the kior. And why was this such a great takana? So that everybody involved in the Karban Tamid could do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim without waiting online. That everyone is able to wash at the same time. That was this great takana of 12 spouts. But wait a second. If the shochet would also be mekabel the dam, so then the shochet also needed to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, says the Gemara. Then you would have needed 13 spouts, not 12 spouts. 12 spouts would not have sufficed. Says Mikdash David very sharp. If you're going to say that you really need min hadin, you need kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in order to touch a kli shares, the shochet needed to wash his hands and feet anyway, because he's touching the shechita knife. So anyway, he would have had to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Elamai, what do you see from that Gemara? That to touch kli shares, there's no din, not a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan, that you need kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. And was only if he was going to do the Kabbalah that he would have needed Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. But to do the Shechita, it's completely unnecessary to have Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. It's Dafka over here, by this Klishar, it's by the Trumas Hadeshen, that we remind him. Because again, like we said before, there's not going to be anyone that's with him to remind him later. As the Mishnah now goes on to say, they would describe to him exactly where the shovel is going to be, where you could find it, and no one else would come in with him. He didn't even carry a light with him, because the light of the Maharacha on top of the Mizbeach, there was stuff burning on the Mizbeach all night, so the light of that fire was enough to guide him to where he needed to go. The Mefarish says that we're talking about between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. A person's not allowed to go between the Ulam and the Mizbeach except for Bishas Avoda. So just like you're not allowed to go between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, it's also usher to go between Kevesh the Ulam, because the Kevesh has a din of the Mizbeach. So the same Isra that you have in Shalom Bishas Avoda to go between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, you have between the Ulam the Kevesh as well. So the Rosh Hashanah asks, we don't find that anywhere. There's no such din. Adrabah. The beginning of Masechus Kelim, it says that Bali Mumim and Puri Rosh are not allowed to go between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Sounds like other Kohanim are allowed to go bein ulam l'mizbech, even shalom b'shas avoda. So very strange. Where does the Mefarish get this idea that there's some sort of iser for Kohanim, even shalom b'shas avoda, to go bein ulam l'mizbech? So the Be'er Sheva quotes from Piskei Tosfos that the reason that no one else goes there is because someone who's not rachlis yadayim v'raglayim is not allowed to go between the ulam umizbeach. And Be'er Sheva points out that's machlokas in the beginning of Maseches Kelim. Tanakama holds only Purei Rosh of Sui Yayin are not allowed to go there. And Rabbi Yossi holds that even if you just didn't wash your hands and feet, you're not allowed to go between the ulam umizbeach. And we pass like the Tanakama. That it's the Rabbi passes like the Tanakama, that only Purei Rosh are not allowed to go there. Only people who are Purei Rosh or Sui Yayin are not allowed to go there. So very difficult to understand exactly why he has to go alone over here. There's no iser for other Kohanim really to go with him. It's very difficult to understand the shita of the Mefarish. Lo ayu roin oso, back in the Mishnah, roin oso v'lo yishomen eskolo. No one would see him as he's going to do this job, nor would they hear anything that he was doing. Atru yishomen kol ha'etz sha'asa ben katin muchni l'kior. Until they heard the sound of the wood that ben katin made as a wheel for the kior. Ben katin was the guy who made two major improvements on the kior. One is to add all the spouts, to go from two spouts to 12 spouts, and the other is he made a mechanism, a pulley mechanism, that sunk the kior underground, because all the water in the kior would become pasul belina every single night if it was above ground, but it was underground in the bar, so it wouldn't become pasul belina. That was his thing. So they had to pull up the kior again every morning, so when they heard that, they knew what he was up to. When they heard that, they said, oh, it must be time, he's being mekadish yad v'raglav. Natal machtas hakesef, so he took the silver shovel, va'ala l'rosh ha'mizbeach, and he went to the top of the mizbeach, pinas ha'gechalim helach, and he moved the coals over to the side, chotas ha'macholas ha'pnimios, and he took the inner coals, the inner burning embers, yarat higia l'ritzba, so he went down the ramp and he got to the floor of the Azara, hafach panav l'tzafon, he turned facing north, Holech b'mizrachu shel kevesh, and he went along the eastern side of the ramp, ke'eser amos, 10 amos, tzavar es ha-gecholim al gabei ha-ritzvah, rachuk min ha-kevesh shlosh tfachim. And about 3 tfachim away from the ramp, he would pile up the ashes about 3 tfachim away from the ramp, on the floor. Makom shenosim moras ha'of, which happened to be the same place where they would put the crap and the feathers of the olas ha'of after they would squeeze out the blood from its neck on the mizbeach. Vidish mizbeach ha'pnimi, it's also where they took the ashes of the mizbeach ha'pnimi, they placed it in that same spot. Vidish ha'menorah, and also the ashes of the menorah were also taken and put in that same spot. That was where the miraculous swallowing up of the ashes occurred, in that spot in the Azara, that's where you would put the Trumas Hadashen. Frek the Gemara. Wait a second. Nachsadra, we described before. You have a little bit of a ceiling with giant pillars. So what do they make pillars out of? They make it out of wood. So are they allowed to have nachsadra in the Azara? Vatanya, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer minayin sheinos nachsadros bazara. How do I know that you're not allowed to make nachsadra in the Azara? Tamalomer lo sita l'cha ashera kol eitz, eitz l'muzbach Hashem elkecha. That you're not allowed to have nashera kol eitz, or any wood in the mizbeach, near the mizbeach of Hashem. So achikamar, and that means lo sita l'cha ashera, lo sita l'cha kaleitz eitzel mizbech shemel kech. It's not only asherah, it's not only an asherah tree, not allowed to plant. There can't be any wood in the construction of anything in the Azara. Everything in the Azara has to be made of stone. Nothing can be made out of wood. So how could they have this achsadra? How could they have these pillars? Mistam, the pillars are made out of wood. Says Gemara Rav Chisda bach sadros shel binyan. Who said they're made out of wood? Maybe they had these giant stone pillars. So it wasn't lavdafka that it was made out of wood. The Sifri in Parsha Shoftim says it has the drasha l'sita l'cha asherah kol eitz melamich kalinotei Ashera over below sase, that if you plant an Ashera, it's a violation of below sase. Uminayin linotea ilan, ubone bayis, behar habayis, shu over below sase. How do I know that building with wood in har habayis is a violation of below sase? Tamalomar, kol eitz, eitzel mizbach Hashem elokecha. Rabbi Lazar omer, minayin sheinosim achsadra be'azara, so the machlokas in the Sifri, is it a din in the entire Harabayis or only in the Azara? The Rambam paskins, hanotei ilan eitzel mizbech, o bekola azara bein ilan strak, bein ilan machal, afal pisha sol lenoi lemigdosh viofilo, hareze loke. So you get malchus if you plant it anywhere in the Azara. Shenemer losit elcha asher, kol eitzel mizbech Hashem elokecha, reisha yiderech avdichav notin ilanos bitzan mizbech shalah, kdei sheiskap to shama'am, the guy of the Chavim would do this. So we don't do this. Also, lasa sachsadros shalitz b'migdash kederek shosim b'chatzeros afal pishu b'binyan veinu itz natua harchaki yaseri hi shenemar kol eitz. This is harchaki yasera. Not only are we not allowed to plant trees, we're not allowed to use wood in construction. Where the Rambam says in the Azara. So who's the Rambam paskin like? He's paskin like Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar is the one that said that it's only a din in the Azara. Tanakama held it was a din in the entire Harabayis. So a little bit strange that the Rambam would paskin like Reb Lazar. So the Kesef Mishnah points out the Rambam had a different gears than the Sifri. His girsa was not that it was Rabbi Lazar Omer, but that it was Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. And we know Mishnas Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Kavinaki. So we always paskin like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. That's why the Rambam paskins this way, like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. It's also this concept. There's a beautiful Meshachachma. What is the Lasita L'cha Asherah Kaleitz? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that anyone is mamed a dayin she'eno hagin is ki'ilu nata Asherah Eitzel Nuzbach Hashem. Of all things to equate with each other, you appoint a dayin who takes bribes. That's like planting an Asherah next to the Mizbach. So the Mesh Chachma points out beautifully that the idea of why we can't plant trees or use wood by the Mizbeach is because the Mizbeach has to represent, it's very easy for a person to get a major misconception when you bring karbanos, as if, ki'ilu, God needs my karbanos. I have to bring a gift to God. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything from us. We bring karbanos for ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely independent. That is a critical element of karbanos, critical hashkafa. The mizbeach is therefore mizbeach avanim. Why? Because eitz needs nourishment, it needs water, it needs sunlight, it needs to be given something to grow. Avanim are avanim, they are what they are, nothing affects them whatsoever. The mizbeach has to be mizbeach avanim. Anything near the mizbeach, no eitz. Asherah is lav dafka. Why do we use Asherah? The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says Asherah is a lashon shemis Asheres me'achirim. It's a lashon design about the Avodah Zarah that it needs support from other people, that it needs to be sustained. That's the idea of Asherah. You can't have the idea of I'm helping, I'm supporting next to the Mizbeach. So what does the Gemara in Sanhedrin say? Where else do you need a sense of independence? Dayanim have to be completely independent. They need to be Ashirim. They can't be dependent on other people. You appoint a Dayan who's Eino Hagun, who's not appropriate to be a Dayan, who depends on other people for bribes. So that's Ki'ilu Yurnotea and Asherah Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. You took something that the idea of dependence and put it in a makom of independence. Let's finish up the parak. Hayibotkin Vaholchin. So they would get to the guy who made the chavitin and wake him up and say, time to make the chavitin. That was the first thing in the morning, apparently. Lememer the chavitin of akadimi? Vatani, minayin shein dover kodlum tam shashacha tamalom v'aruch aleha ha'ola v'amar rabba ha'ola ala rishona. How could the chavitin be the first thing? The first daf in Tamin Nishchat, in the fifth parak of Masechus Pesachim, discusses how the first thing that we would do every day in the Beis Hamikdash was the Karban Tamin, and the last thing we would do was the Karban Tamin shel Bein Arba'im. So why do we assume that the chavitin the first thing? So Rabbi Yehuda lahachum chamin l'revicha. No, it means to warm up the waters for making the revicha of the that was going to go for the chavitin, but not to actually bring the carbon of the chavitin first thing in the morning. Tamid was certainly the first thing in the morning. Okay, Mitzvah, tomorrow we'll pick up with the next parak.